That's right. What's that? You don't like him? Why not? You're being a good patient? So you like to clean? You don't mind? Were you going to say something? Who else? Who likes to go to the dentist? Only if you get a toy. Okay. What do they give you at your dentist? You get to pick something out. Okay. Same with you. You know what they give me at my dentist office after I'm done? Yeah, they do give me a toothbrush. They do give me floss. And they give me a bill. So, does it feel good?
No.
Some people say no, some people say yes. Can it hurt a little bit?
Yes.
It can hurt a little bit when they're sticking a sharp metal pointy object in there in your gums. How does it feel afterwards?
Better.
Yeah, it feels better, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't want them picking on my teeth.
Yeah. But sometimes it kind of feels nice and clean that you've got some of that stuff out. So that's one instance where something might hurt a little bit or there's some time of pain that goes on. But afterwards, it feels better. That way we get to keep our teeth, right? Who here likes chicken nuggets?
I love chicken nuggets.
Anybody here like hot dogs or hamburgers? Does anybody here love to eat mashed potatoes all the time?
No.
Yes. How about milkshakes all the time?
Yes, everybody should
do
that.
Well, because see, if you didn't have your teeth and you didn't go to the dentist and they didn't clean them out for you, you didn't take care of them, well, your teeth might fall out.
Yeah.
I lost one tooth.
You lost it? Hopefully you found it.
No, the tooth fairy got it and gave me $1.
The tooth fairy got it and gave you $1. Wow, so the maximum amount of money you could ever have is $24, right, from your teeth?
I want $7 for a Minecraft sword.
Oh, he wants $7 for a Minecraft sword. Well, in one instance, using the dental picks can hurt. How about push-ups? Can anybody do push-ups?
Yes, I can.
Let's see. I want to see who can do the most push-ups. Hold on. We'll do on my count. Everybody get set on one knee. He's like, I'm the... I'm waiting for people to get ready because you don't need to tie yourselves up beforehand. All right, everybody's up. Down. Up. Down. Up. You're not even hearing anybody count. Down. Up. Down. Up. Down. Up. Down. Up. Down. Up. I want to see who can do the most. Down. Up. 8, down, up. They're getting so tired. Down, up. Down, up. Down, up. Down, up. Down, up. Down, up. Brian's up here just pumping them out. I still see some people going. Some people are like, I'm done. So Sophie's doing it. You got to move them arms up and down. Oh, Sophie's done it. Zoe's still going, and Isaiah's still going. Oh, and Isaiah lost count. We got Ryan. Oh, Ryan's still going strong. All right. So what does push-ups do for us? Makes you stronger. Does it feel good when you're doing them? Makes you tired. Well, here's when we get ready for a sports team. As a wrestling coach, I make guys do lots of push-ups. I don't know, all the coats came off now. But it makes us stronger. How about planks? Does anybody know what a plank is? All right, who wants to do a plank? Ready? She's ready. You're going to do a plank? All right, here we do a plank. Let's see who can do it the longest. I did this with the teens and Shauna's stepdaughter.
Ella.
Wow, she's got abs of steel. I could have taken an app and read a book. All right, everybody up. Whoever's doing a plank, let's see them. Nice and straight. What does a plank work? Works your core, your abs, so you can have abs of steel, right? What's the record? Anybody know what the record is for planks? Oh, it's hours. A guy's done them for hours. It's 5, 10, 20 hours, something like that. It's crazy. Yeah, he just stood there the whole time. Well, in a plank. Get that butt down, boy. That's bad. There's a couple of people with some great... Joe, have you been making them do planks at home, doing push-ups? But I think... All right, you guys get back up. You guys can have a seat here or there, whichever you prefer. Or if you really want to go back with your parents, you might. So some of these things that we do cause pain. We can have someone picking at our teeth and our gums. That can hurt us. But in the end, we know that it's going to feel better to have teeth than to chew. To enjoy those chicken nuggets. To enjoy my steaks. To enjoy Sarah's cinnamon rolls. But you might be able to gum those down. Sometimes it hurts to do push-ups, but we need to get stronger to be able to lift other people or to push other people or to run farther, to run faster, to lift more weights in a competition. Sometimes it's hard and gets tiring when we do planks. But we do that so we can have a strong core. All these things matter, and they hurt in the beginning to lead us to something better at the end. So I'm going to ask some of you guys, what's the worst pain you've ever felt? So think on that for a moment.
Getting
your teeth drilled into it. You know, for me, mine, probably one of the worst pains was when I had to have a cap done. I had to go, my cap came in, and the doctor calls, says, come on in, I have to still pick up Abby and Isaiah. I didn't have much time. So I didn't have time to get it all numbed up. And I said, I either got to come back or do it now. And so the doctor did it without the numbing stuff. That was quite fun, getting my cap put on with a bare root. That was probably one of my worst pains. Anybody here ever had kidney stones? Can I get an amen for that one? Or yes, or hey, yeah. Anybody like that pain? Mm-mm. Anybody here ever had an amputation without anesthesia? Now, everybody looks like they have all their limbs. It does seem like that would be one of the most painful things I could think of, having an arm or a leg or a foot chopped off with no numbing. And then the ultimate, giving birth. So whenever anything talks about pain, childbirth always comes up. Always comes up. It's biblical. And in fact, in today's passage, we're going to read about that today too, because Jesus talks about it as well. Humans often focus on physical pain, yet many know that the biggest hurt actually comes not from blows or cuts or bruises, but they come from a crushed spirit. They come from the loss of a loved one. They can come from hurtful words. The disciples were grieved for a time, especially between the time of the crucifixion and the resurrection. They were a time that they were sorely grieved. If we turn or read to John 16, we're going to go verses 19 through 24. John 16, 19 through 24. I think this will be at the NIV. I'll probably read it from there because mine isn't the NIV. John 16, 19 through 24. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this. So he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then in a little while you will see me. Doesn't that sound confusing to you? In a little while you'll see me no more, but then in a little while you'll see me. Is he going to play hide and seek?
No.
Is he going to be like me in the back with whomever the baby of the month or year is, as I play peekaboo behind the screens and everything else? I know Desi's taken over sometimes. Is Jesus going to play peekaboo with them?
No, he's
going to
disappear.
He's going to disappear. Yeah.
For good.
No, not for good. Because it says right here, he says, and then after a little while you will see me. They wanted to ask him this because the disciples were confused. Well, let's go on to verse 20. Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. 21. And here comes Jesus. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. 22. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Next. In that day, bless you. In that day, God bless you, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. In 24, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Heavenly Father, we have read your word. Would you speak to us through your word? Would you convict of sins with the power of your Son, Lord Jesus? Would it overcome us, Lord God, and help us to know how we can treat you, how we can treat others, and how we can work within our own lives to bring more into your kingdom. It's in your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Going back to verse 19, go ahead, I don't think I put it in there twice. So Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this. So some of what this is Jesus giving his disciples final instructions. He's about ready to go to the cross. And we just got past Easter. We just talked about the resurrection. This is right beforehand, and Jesus has given his final instructions. So when your parents leave, and they might say, okay, before I come back, I want you to make sure that you've done the dishes and that you fed the dog and that you've brushed your teeth and you've gotten your pajamas on and go to bed. They might give you final instructions before they come back or before they go on vacation. God bless you. In the same way, Jesus did the same thing. Before he was ready to go, he told his disciples what's going to happen. And in this section, I didn't put it up there because he repeats himself. He tells them that I'm going to go away. You will see me no more, and then you, after a little while, you'll see me. And his disciples are all scratching their heads saying, I don't get it. What? What's he mean by that? And so he's comes back to them and says, are you asking one another what I meant by this? When I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then in a little while you will see me? Verse 20. In verse 20, he's telling them, I'm telling you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. Do you remember what the Sanhedrin and the leaders of the people, they were proud that they got Jesus up on that cross and they're going to get rid of him. How did his disciples feel? They felt sad. They wept and they mourned. I tell you what, if you've ever lost a grandparent, if you've ever lost a pet, if you've ever lost your favorite pen, you grieve, you mourn. And the disciples did so too. And Jesus tells them, you will grieve and you will mourn. But take heart, because your grief will turn to joy. Verse 21, he likens it to a woman giving birth. So are there any moms in the crowd? There are a few. So, for the most part, I know it can be trying. Are you happy that you had your children? Absolutely. How many have more than one child? Are they happy that they have more? Did you forget the pain of the first one? Jesus says, a woman giving birth to a child has pain. And it's supposedly more painful than getting your tooth replaced, more painful than kidney stones, more painful than springing your ankle, more painful than somebody taking your finger and ripping it off with a pair of pliers. That wouldn't feel good, would it? Or pulling out a tooth. Anybody got a loose tooth? So it's not a big deal. But childbirth is painful. Painfuler? Oh, you just wanted to say it. But see, her time has come, and when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. Verse 22. And Jesus tells them, and he's warning them, so with you, now is your time of grief. So they're going to be sad when Jesus goes. And I believe he can say that to us as well, that now is our time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. He's going to go on and tell us about how things are going to be. You're going to ask in my name. Go to verse 23. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So what do you guys think that means, ask in my name? Do we ask in the name of anybody else ever? No? I bet you do it all the time. I bet you my kids do. Abby, go ask so-and-so for me. Isaiah, go ask so-and-so for me. Sometimes you might say, well, my brother wanted to know if we could have an extra cookie after dinner. You might ask in somebody's name. Here, we're to ask, especially with spiritual matters, we're to ask in whose name? Jesus, that's the easy answer. Whose name? Jesus' name. That's right. My Father will give you whatever you ask. 24. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive. And then what? Your joy will be complete. So Jesus was giving them final instructions. He was warning them about his death and departure. Now, we know that the disciples did not recognize the process that Jesus had to go through, because now we read on it. We see that they were confused. We see that they grieved and mourned. We can look at Luke 24 as some evidence of this. In Luke 24, there's a couple of disciples, and they're on the road to Emmaus. Does anybody feel brave enough to read that for us on the microphone? Feel brave enough? All right, here we go, Ryan. Let's see if this will come on. It's number, handheld number 2, I believe. Now it should be on the other side, closer to your right hand, in the middle to the right. You see a yellow light flashing? Probably up. I'm getting probably around there. I think it says handheld number 2. All right, so Ryan, you ready? Let's read this. This is about how two guys are on the road to Emmaus. You want to turn around so you can see that? Go and read that for us. There were, if it's not on, I can use this one. No good? All right, go ahead and read in this one.
Now that the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened.
Okay, go on to the next one. 14. 15. Okay, yep. Go back one. There we go.
As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him.
Okay, next one.
He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them named Cleopas.
Sure, that looks good.
Cleopas asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in the world, and indeed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed over to him to be sentenced to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day that since all this took place in place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and and how slow to believe all the prophets, all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? In the beginning, with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all of the scriptures concerning himself.
All right. So some of that, if you look back and we look into that, we can see that the disciples were dismayed. The disciples were grieved. The disciples were sad. In fact, they were walking along with Jesus, and they didn't even recognize him. And then in a little bit later, I don't know if I put it in there, Desi, if I put the next couple verses in. I skipped a couple. I can't remember if that's in there or not. But anyway, okay. What we see then is Jesus was going to go on further. And they say, nah, come eat with us. And he breaks bread, and their eyes were opened. And they recognized Jesus. They were so much in their grief that they couldn't even see Jesus when Jesus was walking right alongside with them. In the same way, if we turn to John 20, this is 11 through 15, and I think I'll probably include 17. And so Mary stood outside the tomb crying. She was crying because she was sad. This is before the resurrection, or at the resurrection. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. Go ahead. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." And at this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But what does it say? She did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" And thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. So her eyes were opened as well. But in their grief, they couldn't even see that it was Jesus with them. They did not have the foresight to know what was going to happen. See, on the road to Emmaus, the disciples didn't recognize Jesus, but they were still grieving until their eyes were opened that they saw him. And then they were joyed. Mary was weeping at the tomb and thought that Jesus was the gardener. And then he opened her eyes. The disciples, in the time of the crucifixion, they had lost hope because they had sacrificed. They have given stuff up. I mean, was it Bert? You said you're saving for some sword? Is that what you said? You're going to save for some sword? Is that what you were going to do? A Minecraft sword. He was saving, it cost $7 for a Minecraft sword. What happens if they're all out? Wouldn't that make you sad? What if they quit selling them? That's how it was with the disciples. Something they had longed and hoped for was lost to them. And they were sad and grieved. But see, their grief can lead to joy. In verse 19, we can see, and Jesus is telling us, that there are going to be times when we have trials. And they're going to have us in a fog. Is it easy to see through a fog? No, it isn't. Is it easy to see through ice? No, it isn't easy to see through ice. And that's how it is sometimes. We have sickness, we have loss, we have stress, and pain can hinder our sight. Everybody here, hold your breath. And if you keep holding your breath for a long time, after maybe a minute, 30 seconds, maybe a minute and a half for some of you, if we're in better shape, all you can think about is breathing. You can't hear my words. You're not thinking about what's for lunch. You're not thinking about if you got your homework done. All you're trying to do is thinking about breathing. You can take a breath. And that's how it is when we're in sickness, when we're in pain, when we've suffered through loss. It's like holding our breath, and the only thing we can focus on is the thing that's hurting us. When we're holding our breath, when we're in the pain, it's hard to think about others too. But we need to look to the end. We need to look through the fog. We need to look through that pain to past what's going to happen so that we can look towards that goal. In verse 20, Jesus is telling us that others are going to rejoice. Now, it's true that as Christians, that it seems like other people are having more fun than us. I just had a coworker come back from Disney World, and not that I like Disney World, but I often think, man, it'd be great if I could go on a long trip like that, go on a vacation. Disney's expensive. It's over $100 per person per day. That doesn't include your airfare. That doesn't include your meals. That doesn't include your hotel. That's quite pricey to go to Disney World. And it seems like other people are having more fun than us. It seems like, especially young people, if you're a Christian, you withhold things. And they think it's more fun. And the world rejoices while we grieve. See, is it fun necessarily to give our tithes? Sometimes I think so. But sometimes I want to hold on to that to go have more fun and go play in a golf league and play golf every other weekend or do more fishing or have a bigger bass boat. But while we are stressed out, while we might have pain or grief, other people rejoice. We actually talked about this morning a little bit, but we feel for the fatherless. In the rash of the United States here, 40%, I want to say, it's 40% of children are born to fatherless homes. Now, as a Christian, I take that to heart. I feel compassion. Sometimes I feel upset that there's not more that I can do, and maybe I should be doing more. But there's other people who think it's their own fault, and it's not my job to help them out. But see, our compassion here and now will turn to joy. Both on earth when we realize a harvest, and in heaven when everything is revealed. Verse 21, our pain is likened to childbirth. And it is unbearable at a time. Right, ladies? Right, moms? But there's that prize at the end. And Jesus tells us that now is our time of grief. So when we have friends who need something without a lunch, when we have coworkers who might be going through some stressful things, when we have family members who are going through some stuff, let's look to the Christians and to the church to have that compassion. When we have a lot of stress going on, let's look to our brothers and sisters to have that compassion. Because Jesus tells us in verse 22 that now is our time of grief. Now is our time of testing. And you know what? That's so that our joy will be made complete. We're going to have a party in heaven. It talks about the feast. It talks about the parties. All in heaven. And in verses 23 and 24, Jesus goes on to tell us how we can ask for things in his name. So not all pain is bad, and not all grief is sad. There are times that we have to do exercise, right? We do exercise for our health. We do exercise for our strength. Sometimes we do exercise to shed a few pounds. And in the same way, hopefully we can do some spiritual exercises in compassion, in our spiritual disciplines, so we can be spiritually healthy, so we can be spiritually strong, and so we can shed the things of this world that hold us down. We can put into our children. We can do their diapers. We can put up with their tantrums. We can put up with them not listening. We can run them around to different activities. We've got 4-H. We got soccer practice. We got wrestling practice. We got choir practice. We can even go to the church. We've got Wednesday night Bible study. We've got quizzing. We've got quizzing on Saturday. We put all of this into our children. We run them to tuition costs. We sacrifice for those things, but we put into them. We hope that all of the diapers, all of the stress, all of the running around leads to something in the end. Hopefully that's for well-adjusted good citizens of our children. Hopefully that leads to friendship with their child. And then the ultimate thing, grandchildren. That's what we're looking forward to. I know. Our sacrifice right now is our Father's joy. Our sacrifice now is so that we may share with Jesus in his joy. We need to look to Jesus in our pain and suffering. When we're overly stressed, when we got too much going on, we need to look to Jesus when we're in our pain. And hopefully he can open our eyes like he did to Mary, like he did to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. We need to push past the pain to realize the gain. When Sarah was pregnant with Abby, I know Abby's this tall now for those of you who know her, but at one point she wasn't, and she was late in coming. And we decided to have a natural childbirth. And I remember Sarah laboring with Abby. And eventually she was born. It took only 20 minutes of push. I'm like, yeah, that's my wife. She's strong. But right after Abby's born, they put Abby on Sarah's chest. And I said, so you ready for another one? And guess what she said? I never want to do that again. There was that pain. She was happy to have Abby there. But she didn't want to go through that thing ever again. But you know what? Just about 2.5 short years later, she's going through it again. I get the phone call. Because we had the doctor's appointment on his due date, which I always laugh because babies are rarely born on their due date. And she goes to work. I go get a haircut and mow the lawn. I get the phone call 1.5 hours or so after we left the doctor's appointment. She goes, I'm having a sandwich. And then I'm walking down to labor and delivery. Okay. So I got done what I needed to get done. I get into the room. She's on the bed, sitting there laboring. I said, hi, honey, how you doing? She goes, I remember. Well, I never wanted to do this again. And as you can see, we only have 2. But see, there was a pain. If she had neglected the pain, or if she had only remembered the pain and neglected the prize, we'd only have Abby, and she's very wonderful. But I also like having Isaiah as well. So there is a pain, but there is a prize. Not all pain is bad. Not all grief is sad. And hopefully your joy, your grief, can lead to joy. All right, let me close out in prayer, and then it'll be time. Some people do have triplets. Yes, and bless them, because that's hard. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for that you walk with us. We may not even see you when we're in our pain. We might not see you when we're stressed out, when everything keeps being bundled on top of us. But Lord Jesus, I pray that you would see us through. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to do your will, that we may be compassionate. And Lord God, help us to mourn now so that we may be blessed, that we may be happy with you in heaven. Help us to store up treasures there. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.